Greetings. Welcome to the show. This is James Gillen, your host, and we've got a great couple hours now. We're going to have Sonia Barrett on the second hour, and I would definitely stick around to listen to her. She has quite a lot to say and a lot of advice about the coming, you know, the changes and what we're dealing through on a lot of different levels. But we've also have an upcoming show. We're going to have James McBride. We're working that out right now. We're trying to get a time where we can all be there together. And we'll probably have Spencer and Nate on us on the air with us as well. And we'll be talking about Divine Providence, a brand new way of dealing things with peace, you know, dealing with this new world disorder, stepping out of it, and rather than fighting it, just stepping into a whole different system and moving out of that tyrannical, predatory, parasitic program we have going right now. But anyway, I had a pretty incredible experience with that just recently. We had our 10th court case. Everybody's been asking us what's happening with the SETI. And just for a small update on that, we've had a lot of problems with just some major intrusions and breaches of trust and things like that that we've been dealing with the county and different officials. And it's just all about just minor code violations, which is just a foot in the door to come in and try to shut us down. But they're trying to make it look like our septic tanks aren't working or anything like that. And they've all been inspected and they're working perfectly. And we got a clean bill of health. So there's really no public nuisance here whatsoever. It's a clean, pristine environment. It's a very spiritual place where people live in harmony with each other, you know, and the land. And, you know, it's, I'd like to match our track record with theirs. You know, there's no injured parties here, nothing, you know, we've just been operating in peace, holding a very high, you know, a high bar. And unfortunately some people haven't been able to meet that bar, but that's the way it is. Anyway, that being aside, we did have our 10th court case on this matter, which is basically malicious use of process and barratry. It's just harassment. And I was actually pretty much thrown out of the court and not even given a chance to speak. And then after I was thrown out of the court, they said, well, you aren't here, so we're gonna move against you. it's just unbelievable. There's more to the story than that, but I don't want to get into it. But anyway, it's like, I think it's like quite interesting. You go to address the matter, they throw you out of the court, and then they rule against you because they say you're not there. Makes a lot of sense. But anyway, it seems like some people just don't want to have a solution. They just want to have conflict. And that's what it's all about, is just creating more and more conflict. But there are ways of stepping out of that system, and we'll talk a lot about that when we bring James McBride on with Divine Providence. We've got a few other really good shows where we've got, we're going to have Victoria Lilinquist on and a few others, you know, coming up here real soon. So, you know, there's so many things happening right now. I wanted to kind of create some open lines tonight and give out the numbers if people want to call in. I wanted to just talk about a few things. And you know, the internet is just ablaze with, you know, holding these politicians' feet to the fire, especially our president, and just exposing, you know, the lack of transparency, the lack of promises fulfilled, and just the blatant contradictions in what's unfolding right now. And some wonderful things I've sent out in the newsletter. You should check into the newsletter at eseti.org and sign up for the newsletter, because I sent some wonderful new videos out now that, you know, war is a racket, you know, the bankers' wars. There's all these different videos out there that are just amazing. They're showing the driving force behind all these wars and what they're really about, as well as other things. And so, you know, it just seems the internet right now is just ablaze with information, and it's done very well, and it's very educational, and it's time to do our own research concerning these matters. But you know, get a really clear idea of what's happening and what's unfolding. You're not going to hear it in the mainstream news. You'll hear snippets now and then, but you won't hear anything in depth, you know, as to the real problem. You know, most of that is more focused on Britney Spears' new hairdo or new tattoo or something like that. you know, just to sidetrack you and a lot of wag the dog stories, you know, to get you off track and thinking about something else. But anyway, that being said, there's quite a few things happening right now with the East Coast. I know they've got a massive storm coming in. I've had people call me and, you know, I've had some people call me and say, it's really not that bad. It was really hyped up. It's not as bad as they were expecting. And I guess there might be some areas where it might be really bad. I don't know. The people I've talked to from the East Coast that have called me said it really isn't that, it's not as bad as it was hyped up to be. I know there's some major harp signals, harp rings over that area. So, you know, they might be trying to whip it up into something a lot bigger than it is. That's one thing. I would check into this Santa Cruz Island situation because we had a massive quake there, you know, 8+ quake. Followed by every time I open my email, there's 3 or 4 other quakes there in that area. You know, and they're not little quakes. They're 6s and 7s and a lot of 5s. And so that area is on the move. And we've talked earlier about that all the way back in 82. We talked about how that area would be, that's like Lemuria rising. You know, that there's a whole continent that's rising there. So there will be a lot of quake action. The Earth is expanding. You know, she's growing, you know, she's birthing, she's having some birthing pains in this process. She's reacting to the planetary alignments and the alignment with galactic plane and the huge influxes of energy from solar flares and cosmic rays and gamma ray bursts and things of that nature. So, you know, she's going to continue to, you know, adjust herself to all this new energy coming in, you know, as well as her own expansion and growth. So, you know, 2012 is on, you know, 2012, the, you know, 2012, what, 21st, everybody was waiting for the day, you know, the big event on one day. It doesn't work that way. It's like a beginning. It's the beginning of a lot of events and a culmination point, you know. So anyway, when a huge amount of energy comes in, you know, during a certain time, you don't see the effects right away. It might take a little while, but you're going to see a lot of, you know, just a lot of things happening, social, economic changes, you know, physical earth changes, everything is going to escalate from here on out. And, you know, it's a three-way race between, you know, the individual and collective consciousness, divine intervention, and the earth and what she needs to do, you know, to move on to the next level and clean herself up. So, if we get our act together, we can get more divine intervention, we can get more help, and then the earth doesn't have to do things as violent. You know, she can chill out on some things. You know, whenever you see events, those events are good for the moment that you see them. You know, they're on the books, and they can always be altered and changed. And as we say, you know, the best prophets are the ones whose prophecies don't come true because they reached enough people to affect a change. You know, I've seen all kinds of events, and they give me heads up. You know, and I'll put them out. I go, hey, this is a vision as they're showing me. And then some of them will be lessened. You know, instead of a huge quake, there'll be 2 smaller ones, be 2 6s in that area. Or instead of a massive tsunami, something else might happen. But, you know, we've seen over and over again that these changes can be affected. They can be changed. And, you know, these prophecies are just heads up. Hey, get together, you know, start, do your prayer work, do your meditation work, start cleaning up, you know, your own consciousness and work towards cleaning up the planet. And, you know, there's an old saying, God helps those who help themselves. So if you start doing your own process, you know, your own work, you can, you know, flow with these changes in a much more graceful manner. I'm going to give out the call-in numbers. So if anybody wants to call in and share some stories or experiences they've had, I know UFOs are showing up everywhere. And there seems to be a bit of a skirmish going on between the light forces and the controllers or manipulators. And a lot of them are being removed from the planet, actually physically, and that's showing up in the skies right now. So if you've had experiences out there, if you've been hearing the big booms and seeing the huge flashing lights happening all over the country right now, especially around Florida, there's a lot of activity in Texas and those areas. You know, give us a call. Tell us your story. You know, if you've had some sightings or if you had visions or anything, of that nature, you want to talk about it and call in, feel free to talk about it and give us a call. Let me give you those numbers. It's 888-627-6008 or 530-327-7602, 530-413-4522, and 530-413-5011. So I'll give you a minute to grab a pen or a pencil if you need to, and to write these numbers down, and we'll give them again. You know, and hopefully we can get some callers to call in and talk about what they're experiencing. I wanted to talk a little bit about politics. I mean, religion and politics are probably the two things you want to avoid. I would like to, but it keeps coming up. And you know, people will say, you know, I just want to state my thing. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not an independent. I'm not anything when it comes to politics. I think we should all just remove our energy from it completely. You know, it's a form of insanity to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And every time we have these politicians that give us all of these promises, after they get in office, you know, they're taken in the back room and shown the Magruder film, you know, and, you know, with President Kennedy getting shot, and said, this is what happens when you don't play ball and you don't do what we tell you. And it's the end of story. So you might as well forget it. You know, if you think these people that you're electing to office are going to fix everything for you and change everything for you and look out for your behalf, it just doesn't work that way. It hasn't worked that way for a long time. And it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. It's a controlled system, and the two parties are actually controlled by one source, and that source comes up to just a few families. And when you figure this out, you'll realize that it's all just a big smoke and mirror game. It's just a big joke. Okay, we're back on again. I guess they didn't like that Mary's message, so we're talking about the political agenda. But anyway, you know, we're talking about Mary's message, and she's saying universal peace, you know, will not come through religions or governments. It'll come through the hearts and the minds of the people. And, you know, and war will end when we stop financing it. It's really that simple. When you say, hey, I'm not financing this anymore, bam, you know, you take the money out of big pharma, and you're going to have all these amazing healing cures come. You know, when you take the money out of oil, you're going to have all the fuelless energy technologies come forth, you know, and people are going to be freed up. So, you know, it's all about being enslaved through dependency and ignorance, and we have to become independent and awaken and figure out what things, you know, how things really work and what's really going on, and then choosing not to participate. You know, that's the bottom line. There are other ways of doing things, and that's what we're all about here. At the Yosetti Ranch, and we're always giving other people options, you know, and the options are always aligned with universal law, and they're aligned with, living a life of harmony, you know, and peace, basically. So, you know, the universal principles are very simple. It's just universal peace, brother, sisterly love, individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. You know, the old Native American saying, that Cherokee saying is, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good. And it doesn't matter what color skin you have, what cult you are. None of that matters. You know, we're all divine spirits. We come from the same source. We return to the same source. And all the other stuff is just diversity and diversity of one. And we have to start looking at things that way if we are going to have universal peace. But, you know, I just think it would be a really boring world, you know, just to have one religion and one color of skin, you know, one culture. You know, it just doesn't make sense at all. It sounds like a very boring world and a very small God. And you know, the way I see it is the source is the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. And all those other, you know, beings out there, no matter what cult you are or what color you are all children of God. It's that simple. My image of God isn't the little old man with a beard. It's beyond that. You know, whenever you have an image of a man, even a woman, you know, it's still a division. You know, it's a division. So So basically, it's beyond all images. It's beyond all of that, and man and woman exist within that unified field, and they're unique yet one at the same time. So that's the big paradox. How can you be unique yet be one with the source at the same time? And it's very, very easy once you understand what the source is. That is just consciousness. It's that loving, joyous, blissful energy that you find within. But that being said, again, we want to open up the line to callers here. Let me throw some numbers out there. We've got, everybody's got their pencil or pen down. We've got 888-627-6008, 530-327-7602, and 530-413-4522, 530-413-5011. So here's your chance, folks. It's As You Wish Talk Radio, and whatever you want to talk about, you can come on the air and ask some questions. We can talk about the a lot of the activity going on around the planet. Some of the footage from Mexico is just unbelievable. Just thousands of ships, you know, in the air, and these things are bilocating, doing all kinds of crazy things. We're having a lot of activity overhead here. Last night I went out and saw 8 ships in probably 5-10 minutes over Trout Lake. We've had some very large ships, you know, hovering over the houses here that look like planets. And when I first looked up and saw one, it was bigger than the brightest star or planet in the sky. It was probably 4 times bigger, throwing off all different colors of light. And I was just hauling ass in my truck trying to get home to grab a camera to get this thing, and I just couldn't get a camera in time, unfortunately. But boy, it was a massive lightship, a massive mothership, and it was hovering right over the ranch here. And we have other locals that have been seeing ships hovering over their house and fully illuminated, you know, just brilliant ships, very large ships. So there's a lot of activity, and I know I listened to one of Linda Moulton Howe's reports on Coast to Coast, and she talked about how there's a lot of witnesses are seeing these massive flashes of lights. And one of the things they're seeing is these look very physical, metallic looking, you know, black triangle ships. And then they'll see another light ship up above it. And they'll see a huge flash and hear some thunder, and then the black ship just kind of vanishes, disappears. And there's a lot of witnesses that have been observing this, you know, huge flashes in the sky, a lot of other things. But it's quite interesting, you know, watching this happening, reports coming in all around the world. People are seeing pretty crazy stuff in the skies and hearing some pretty big booms and some and other strange noises. I'm getting a lot of people asking me about the ringing in their ears, and it almost sounds like their inner ear opens, like somebody's blowing in your ear a little bit. It opens up and then you hear this ringing noise. And you know, some people attribute that to, you know, a big earthquake getting ready to hit, or you know, piezoelectric energy coming from the earth. You know, I equate that to the presence of a ship, and it could be both, you know, I'm not sure, but I know when a major ship is around, I feel that energy and my ears start ringing. So it's definitely changes in the, you know, magnetic fields or some kind of changes in the energy fields going on that's creating that effect. What I tell people to do is when you hear that, you know, it might not be a bad idea to look around and see if anything's, you know, flying over your head, and maybe sit down and meditate on it and ask, you know, what this is. A lot of times it's information coming in, being downloaded, and it's high frequency information downloaded directly to you, directly into your subconscious, that's going to bleed through later, you know, when you need it. So it's really important to take some time, you know, with these energies, because, you know, there is a huge shift going on right now, and it's on every level, you know, social, economic, and physical. It's the good news is on the other side of this shift, it's going to be awesome. You know, you just have to ride it out. So it might not be a good idea to prepare, you know. I love what, in a meditation once, Babaji came to me and he said, it's time to lovingly and joyously prepare. And don't do it in fear. Don't do anything, you know, you shouldn't do anything out of fear that blocks your communication. But, you know, people say, well, that's fear and I only operate in love. And I go, well, if you love your body, you'll take care of it, you know, and you'll make sure it has what it needs in the days to come. You know, if you're a breatharian, great, you know, no problems. Kudos to you. But, you know, it's a good idea to set some stores aside and make sure you can take care of others versus, you know, I always say it's a lot better to feed people than defend and shoot people, you know? So, you know, it's not that expensive. Just buy yourself a few bags of rice and beans and have some other things to add to it and you're fine. And, do whatever process-oriented therapy you can do, you know, to get rid of that, clear that out, you know, clear any emotional baggage out and make your own personal God connection. That's the bottom line. You know, cover every area of your life. It looks like we've got a caller. I think we've got Matt on line 3. Matt, are you with us?
I sure am. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. How are you doing, James?
Good.
I wanted to, if I could, if I had the floor for 2 minutes, I wanted to ask basic four questions. I did attend the ranch back in 2009. It was absolutely amazing. And I wanted to tell you, thank you so much for what your message really, really resonated with me. And that's what attracted me to what your message is, you know, in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to, am I coming in okay?
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Okay, great. I wanted to ask one of the questions that I didn't necessarily have any experiences recently, but I wanted to ask total off-topic questions, but the purpose of an enlightened being coming here, I guess I'm so conditioned in a Star Trek type thing that they're not supposed to interfere with the planet. They're not supposed to necessarily interfere with our evolvement, and yet they are. Would there be a reason for that?
Definitely there is. Most of them operate under the, you know, what they call the Prime Directive. That's what Star Trek calls it. It's a non-interference program, and they may mainly observe and are watching things, you know, unfold here. And then you have another group that are very involved with the process down here in not a good way, you know, in a negative way. So there are some beings that are not so benevolent that are controllers or manipulators. And a lot of people know who they are. There's some grays and reptilians and some other beings out there. Mm-hmm. You know, a small group. It's kind of a small contingent. But, you know, if you are not using, if you're only using 10% of your brain, and you don't know where your thoughts and emotions are coming from, and you don't know how to heal unseen negative influences, it's very easy for them to come in and step in and guide you in all kinds of different directions. But, you know, that's a lot of the unseen influences and, you know, fourth dimensional, 4D kind of beings that they call regenerates or whatever. So mm-hmm. That's been going on. And that got to the point where it got so bad, now the other ones are having to intervene to reset the earth, to get it back on track to its original destiny. And so they kind of were allowing us to do our thing, but the manipulations got so bad and it got so negative here that, you know, they kind of feel a planet and a civilization is a terrible thing to waste, you know, so they're doing all they can to redirect it, and they're mainly working through inspiration, through the consciousness and energy grids, you know, tearing down the old matrix, you know, so and replacing it with a new kind of a Christ consciousness grid, things like that. They're working a lot on those levels, and they are, you know, in very few occasions they're working one-on-one, you know, with people, but those people have to really rise to the occasion and walk a really high path of integrity.
Amazing. Yeah. If I have your ear for another minute, I know I've taken up some time. The other question I had, Well, the one thing that really resonated with me that when you had said before, because I follow your message a lot, everything, and I subscribe to a lot of what the groups and that. It's one thing to see a UFO, but if you can feel a UFO, if you can feel that connection, and that's what you're tying into with the meditative prayer and that. And I've been a long time anxiety sufferer, where I just get massive anxiety attacks. But I'm now looking at them as shifts, and you're right. I have been having a lot of problems with the shifts going through the. And it almost seems like I'm getting more mature in my life and successful business, but my anxiety attacks are getting worse. And I'm wondering, what is the best way for raising my frequency? Like what's a 5-point plan? To help me with that transition process. And I know you talk about that a lot, but I also know I like to hear it a lot because repetition is the mother of skill.
Yeah, great questions. And don't worry about time. We've got all the time in the world here. But it's a 2-hour show. It's a good question. What I would highly recommend basically is a daily meditation time. And I meditate like 3 times a day. I meditate in the morning when I first get up. And a lot of times you just lay there. I don't get up and sit in any kind of position at all. I just like lay there and I start doing clearings, which is the second thing. And learning how to clear your energies and heal any unseen negative influences will propel you. It's like a quantum leap when you learn how to do that. And that's, I believe, on the website, and it's also in the books, Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods, if you want to. Mm-hmm. Want that information, that's in there, and explains how to do it, and finding your own main teacher and guide is really important. If you don't know that, you can pick Mary, Buddha, Babaji, any of those beings.
I never knew that. Wow.
Yeah, they're just a thought away, basically. So. Mm. I'm sure I've missed a few, but I could go through the Ascended Masters. We work a lot. We've had Mary appear here quite a few times, we've had Magdalene and Kuan Yin and all kinds of masters appear here. Ezekiel, good old Yeshua pops in now and then. But a lot of different masters, a lot of Andromedans and Pleiadians and Arcturians and Syrians are all like 5th, 6th, and 7th dimensional beings, different beings, so... They can help you as well, and we have families. We have streams of consciousness where we're hooked into a house of consciousness. Like, you might be hooked into the house of Pleiades or the house of Orion or Sirian, or you might have 3 or 4 star family connections, and those really help people maintain their bliss, in the higher consciousness and heal when they understand that they can draw off of those higher dimensional aspects. It's hard to explain this, but when you realize that there's just this one big cosmic soup out there, this universal universal sea of consciousness and energy of which we all exist, and it's this giant network, and we can attune ourselves to the 4D negative network, and get all screwed up and messed up, or we can attune ourselves to like the 5D network. And 6D and 7D network and focus on that and live a thoroughly blissful life. It doesn't mean you won't have challenges. That just comes with being here. But when you can maintain your bliss when everybody else is losing theirs or maintain your center, it's a lot better than just being in reactionary mind and reacting to everything and flipping out, when things come at you.
Well, it's so true. And I think that's my reason for my panic attacks. I really feel it's a call to action. It's making me look inward and looking in the moment and saying, I have to take action to do this because it's wreaking such havoc in my life. And I need more answers. I need to connect more with Source. I know that. And I just need more tools and maybe more discipline to know what tools to apply,
It's really simple. It, it, you know, there's a llama I study with. He said there's so few enlightened beings on this planet because it's so damn simple, you know. And he just said you focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it. But there's a little more to that. I think we have to become the observer. We have to try to live, you know, according to universal law and not react to things, just observe them. And become sovereign, and, you know, love ourselves, accept ourselves, approve of ourselves, become independent, and then other people can do their thing, and it's not going to affect you.
Yeah, and if I could bring up, so that would be the three things: daily meditation, clearing, and possibly like a reunion with Source, asking for what was that? Our brothers on high. You said one time.
Just, you know. And what I do is a lot to, you know, a powerful meditation is just say, I want to know. Just ask the universe, say, I want to know who I am, why I'm here. And if there's any, you know, benevolent brothers and sisters out there that want to help me with this understanding, I'm all ears, you know, and be open to that. And things will start unfolding very quickly.
Really? Do I, wonderful. Do I have time for one more message or do you got to scoot?
Oh, plenty of time.
Okay. On a negative note, I wanted to just get your opinion. I know you've talked about it many times, but every time, occasionally, you know, we'll get a video in the groups or the Yahoo groups that you know everybody sends out, and which is amazing stuff. Like it just, I look forward to it all the time. And the stuff from David Icke, he really gets into the heavy stuff with the reptilians and so forth, and it concerns me just because at the level that he talks about, and there's such a control grid in place, and I know you say they're breaking down. Sorry, that's just my cat here.
Yeah.
But how concerned should we be with that, you know, and all the negative stuff? If you watch some of his videos, it's extremely, you almost got to take it in chunks if you really want to process it and say, if this is real, oh my goodness. What's your view on that again? Could I get that? Maybe some
sure.
help with that.
I know David Icke. I've had dinner with him and things like that, and I've watched his progress over the years. And it's quite interesting, you know, watching his progress where, you know, he had all kinds. He started having visions and beings coming to him, and then he kind of got attached to that and said, "I'm this guy and I'm that guy." And then he evolved out of that and then all of a sudden he was privy to some knowledge and some wisdom about how dark things really are and how controlled and manipulated we really are. And he was kind of a champion on bringing that out, you know, to let people know, hey, this is what's really going on and you have no idea. And his message is in a way it's dark because he's trying to say, hey, this is really how dark things are. But at the same time, it's going, but wait, you get up off your knees, wake up, smell the coffee, you know, find out who you are. And so his message has evolved quite a bit over to a very empowering message of letting people know how they did become, you know, enslaved and fell asleep and then he gives the flip side, which is great, which is, okay, this is the way out of it, is, you know, realizing who you are, you know, standing up, you know, and things like that. But, you know, that's like everybody has their gig, you might say,
approach.
Kind of, yeah, approach is better. That kind of demeans it. But, and they're all necessary. You know, I get a kick out of Alex Jones, you know, watching him,
absolutely,
you know, just the bulldog, you know, going after everything. And I go, there's that bulldog, you know, just go after it. No fear in their face, you know, letting it out, you know, like, and whatever. And so I just see there's all aspects, you know, it takes all aspects, you know, to get the job done. And, you know, sometimes you need a good cop, get bad cop approach. You know, there's a lot of different things about that, but I'm looking at balance. You know, we got to find balance somehow. Mm-hmm. And you know, we can't just see everything as you know, through rose, you know, Pollyanna approach. You know, we can't do that. You know, I love that one saying is that, you know, you can't, there's an old saying, if people praise you, you can't swell with pride. And if they attack you, you can't run with fear. And that's the same thing, is that, you know, we have a creationary mind and a reactionary mind. And if we're in reactionary mind and reacting to all this stuff, you know, then they've got us, you know. But if we're in mm-hmm. creationary mind and we're creating a different reality, but we're observing the other reality going on without attachment, we're just observing it. That's a different story. And that's, you know, that's what I try to do. People get upset at me because I put out a lot of different information. And one, I go, heads up, and they go, well, you're pushing fear. And I said, well, I don't have any fear when I watch this. You know, it's like I'm just observing it. It's interesting. You know, this is this person's, you know, take on things. And this person is bringing a lot of information to the table. You can take it or leave it. You know,
well, you're a very, very strong person, and all your life experiences and your deep meditative practices have really allowed you to get that level of peace, and more importantly, that level of knowing, you know, things. And it's amazing, you know, you're an amazing person, what you're doing. You know, you're human, and you're doing it. And I try to follow everything you do and everything you say, and I listen to it, and it really, really resonates with me. You know, and I haven't attended the ranch since then, just because when you've had the, you know, the conferences, they ramp up right when we're starting we're a seasonal based business, and mm-hmm. I'm actually calling from Canada, and it's quite cold here too, but so it's difficult for me to get away, but that's another thing with everything you have going at the ranch. I've been keep monitoring the website. Is there any? Are you going to have another conference, do you think, or is it up in the air? Or,
well, it's kind of up in the air right now because we haven't been too public about it, but we've had just lot of legal battles here with certain groups that want to shut us down, and for no other reason.
I contributed a little bit.
Thank you so much. That really helps. You know, it's like, yeah, we blew through all that up with lawyers and advisors and everything, and we're back in the hole again. But we'll probably put a GoFundMe thing up again so we can deal with the next round. But it's looking good, mainly because we've gone to peace with it. We're done fighting these people. You know, after 10 mm-hmm. court cases, you're just saying, this is ridiculous. And we've hooked up with Divine Providence, and we're going to try to get our remedy through them and take it up to a higher court, which is we'll talk about that later. But with Divine Providence, they've been, it's kind of like they've been sanctioned all the way, you know, to the Pope, you know, and the crown. They took this process all the way up to there. It's a long story. It's pretty complicated. And they said, we're taking our power back. This is who we are. They went all the way to the top, and the top said, okay, you know, we agree. The challenges have been taken to the highest levels, and they said, yeah, you know, we agree. And then so now we're in the process of you know, we have our own driver's license. I mean, I'm not a part of Divine Providence other than I joined that group, you know, but I'm not a spokesman. Mm-hmm. But we'll have James McBride on talking about it. But it's just an amazing story. He has the seal of Peter. You know, it's just a much, much higher court that supersedes. It's much higher than the lower courts. And so, you know, we just found the lower courts there's just a lot of corruption there, a lot of.
Of course, yeah.
They're extortion rackets. I hate to say it, but criminal courts are criminals. They're run by criminals, you know. And you know, they're cashing in all the way through. They're cashing in on taking away your freedom, and they're cashing away, you know, financially. They're cashing in all the way through. And rather than really finding a solution to the problem, you know, they're They're just cashing in on it, and it's a big extortion racket. And it's just
And if you think, forgive me for interrupting.
Yeah.
If you think about it too, you probably reach more people. Like the conferences are amazing. You know, you get 100, 200 people to come, mm-hmm. but you probably reach more people. Keep doing the radio, all the radio interviews you do, and the coast to coast stuff, which, you know, seems to be, you know, but even like this show especially, mm-hmm. and then the you communicate with your words and your books and the Yahoo groups, which is amazing. You know, I must get you know 6 to 10 emails a day from that, just with everything that's going on. And like you were saying earlier today, the power of the internet is so, you know, they can try to shut you down, but it goes so viral, and your message does get out. I just wanted to tell you that, and I'm glad it does.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been an arduous journey, but I see the light at the end of the tunnel here, and it feels pretty good. I think it's going to finally get solved because now these people are realizing that you know what they're doing is totally. You know, basically it's criminal, it's illegal, and it's basically trying to force you back into slavery and you know, shut down all the, you know, shutting down all your basic rights, you know, your freedom of speech, your right to assembly, you know, your right to practice your spiritual beliefs. I can go on and on, but it totally trespasses on all those rights. And when they do that, they're in breach, you know, they're in breach of the trust, and everything is a trust. You know, everything's set up as a trust. Even these courts are for-profit corporations. People don't realize that. And they're the trustees and you're the beneficiary. So you have the higher position in there. But if you don't know how to stand in it or hold it, they will contract you out of it and just, you know, do whatever they want with you. So it's all a matter of becoming educated, becoming empowered, and learning how to kind of hold your own in there.
Yeah, it's so crazy. You do nothing. It's so peaceful there. It's so your ranch. It's so relaxing. It's so enlightening. It's so everybody's so friendly. Like it's just some people getting together, and you know, it's mind blowing that there's even an issue. But you know, there's a grander. You know the reason why they do want to stop your message, because your message is, you know, a powerful one for change. You know, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, you know.
Yeah, people get really upset when you tell them, why can't we just be kind to each other, you know? Why can't we stop the aggression and the control and the manipulation, you know, and just get on with our own lives? And that's a real threat to a lot of organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing.
Thanks
but anyway,
very much.
Yeah, I've got a couple other callers on here, so thank you so much for calling in and great questions.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much, James. I really appreciate you in my life.
All right. Take care.
Have a great day.
Looks like we've got, I believe it's Jenny on line 4. Jenny, are you with us?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I wanted to tell you how much I really appreciate what you share, because so many people need to hear it. And even I need to hear it, even though I know what you're talking about. Sometimes the world gets so, the darkness and the bondage to what I call the shadow world is like a web over most people. And if they would just stop and be in the now, like you talk about, and stop all the paranoid projections and control issues and just be alive and look, open their eyes and ears. But they're like enslaved in this web of darkness, and which helps to separate us. I wanted to ask you about did you have an experience on the, on 12/21 of last year? I was home with a friend, and at the same time in daytime, sometime afternoon, we felt this lightness of energy. We felt it both at once, and I wondered if you felt it too, if you've had others talk to you about it. It wasn't like a Hollywood kind of, you know, Mayan kind of Hollywood thing. It was like an energy subtlety. And then, like, within 24 hours, or soon around then, there was this big, heavy energy I felt. And I knew I knew it wasn't, you know, from the Creator. Mm-hmm. And it was like they've got some kind of weapon or mind-altering pulse wave or something that they were counteracting the lighter energy is what I believe. And I wondered if you felt anything like that also. I've had other people act that I know have said they felt the shift, but not very many. Mm-hmm. As you know, there's lots of people in this new thing that's happening who talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They don't forgive. They don't connect with love all the time until it's 24 hours a day. They don't rise above the bondage. But they talk the talk, so it's mm-hmm. few and far between to find individuals who can really see you and know who they are and who you are. You know, it's very difficult because I find that love is very lacking in this world. People mm-hmm. talk about it and say they love, but to me, the human love is based on fear, manipulation, control, lack of self-knowledge, carnal possessiveness, deceit. But the divine love, the face of the beloved, is in everything, all of creation. And when I've been able to connect in that love, nothing can touch me. I've had things turn around when people have tried to take me down or deceive me, and all of a sudden I'm the one who's, you know, has the ability to put them in their place. And I don't glory in that. I weep for them sometimes, but love is the key. Love is the key. And I know you're going through a very hard struggle right now, and I pray for you. And I so appreciate you because I know what you're talking about. And the aliens are part of it, part of our consciousness. Mm-hmm. Whether people want to believe it or not, they're here. So, and they are inner beings who deal with what's going on, and they honor your boundaries. When I first started having encounters with aliens face-to-face, and then, you know, later as a contactee, they taught me. I had to reach higher than where I was consciously. I couldn't just barge in and say, hey, you know, answer this and this question, that question, and so forth. I had to be very sensitive to their boundaries, whichever one I was trying to connect with. And then all of a sudden they started introducing themselves to me, you know, because they can bilocate. All these different ones just letting me know they were there. And it's like you say, you have to be a partner. You can't be passive. You can't just think it's supposed to be some kind of a something that happens to you. You have to be part of it. You have to be spiritually proactive.
Yeah, you have everything. To have to initiate
it. I just pray that your heart is connecting to love right now because they're attacking you big time.
Oh, yeah.
So-called powers of this world, and I hope that you continue to connect to love.
They're basically attacking themselves because I kind of see myself as nobody, which is really hard for them to understand. And I'm always trying to create peace, you know, and unity in the situation. And so no matter what they do, rather than get angry at them, I look at them and I go, do you have any idea, you know, what kind of future you're creating for yourself? What the karmic backlash of this is going to be? Do you really want to go there? And I feel it's this energy came over me a while ago where I just became detached. And I'm still loving, I'm still caring and assisting people, but this sense of detachment where I just said, you know, yeah, let them bulldoze buildings. I don't care anymore. You know, let them do whatever. You know, get it all out of your system, whatever you need to do, like this. And all of a sudden, they didn't know how to deal with that. They don't know how to deal with that energy. And they go, wow, you know, maybe. And I think that's what's happening right now with a lot of this. It hit a point where they had to really look at what they were doing and the ramifications of that and how ridiculous it is. And now they're reevaluating it going, okay, yeah, we did all the steps. We did all the moves. We put in all the paperwork. And now we're going to go bulldoze a healing center, you know? You know? And then all of a sudden, after they got all their stuff together, they went, wait a second, you know, this isn't right, you know? And now it's unraveling because they realize that everything they built their whole case on is a myth. And it's all just hearsay and you know, people creating problems where none exist, people trying to validate their jobs, people threatened by the knowledge that's being shared here. It really has no foundation whatsoever. And that's what I see now is that I've been learning a lot about being appeased and maintaining my own center and not being allowed to be pulled out of it or off of it. And no matter what's happening and mastering that loving detachment. And so that allows me to let people, do what they need to do, be who they need to be. And it's not going to pull me off my center because I don't need their acceptance or approval. And I'm not attached to where they're trying to go. And I know the universe is going to take care of things one way or another for these people. So, you know, if they wake up and smell the coffee and change their route, they're going to have a major opening. If they continue on the path they're going, they're going to have a major lesson. And I'm just there to kind of inform them that there might be a little higher choice to take here.
Yes. It's like the light is going on them and they don't like what they see.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not their enemy, but they decide to be yours, even so.
Yeah.
Like they think you're going to react and be their enemy, and they'll dig their heels in and really, you know, see you in the way they want to see you because they've hooked into you emotionally and tried to play you in that way and make you feel powerless and small and under their thumb. That's the way they always do, but you're proactive spiritually, so you know that game, and they can't do that.
Well, it's
and you
it's
also
good
have allies. You have many allies when you walk the walk and talk the talk. You're not alone. Other mm-hmm. entities, other beings, whether they're in physical form now or in spirit, are lining up and helping you. And it's much more powerful than anything they can do. Much more powerful.
Definitely.
And I know you know this. I know you know it. But
yeah, I think it's good when you know the end of the story. You know, you still have to walk through the story, but when you know the end of the story, it makes things a lot easier. But I've got some other callers on the line here, so I'll have to let you go. But thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us.
Well, it's great to finally speak with you, and, you know, you're in my prayers, and I'm so grateful for what you share, and, you know, that the aliens aren't evil like the ufology groups try to convince people. Well, I've got to go, so I'm going to listen to your show while I do stuff here.
Great. So, all right. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
It looks like we've got one more caller here we can try to squeeze in. We lost her. I think we had Catherine on line one, but she dropped off. So that's all right because this is the end of the show. Sorry, Catherine, we couldn't get to you, or we tried to get to you. But we're coming up to the end of the hour. Stay tuned. We're going to have another hour here. That with Sonia Barrett, and it's quite an interesting conversation with her, and she's got a lot of things up her sleeve here, especially with a lot of the videos that she's putting together and the documentaries, and she's got a few books out there. So we're going to cover all that in the next hour. So stay tuned to the next hour, and I'm going to be signing off here. This is James Gillen, your host with As You Wish Talk Radio. Watch the skies, go within. Shift into that creationary mind, create your tomorrow, and focus on what you want, not what you don't want. And things will start turning around. And, you know, start just being kind to each other. That's the bottom line. Being kind to each other, be kind to the planet, and stop creating all that mucky karma, because it's accelerating. It's looping right around. It's going to come in hot and heavy in over the next year. So anyway, this is James Gillen signing off with As You Wish Talk Radio. Have a great evening. Good night. Greetings, this is James Gillen, I'm your host. We've got another great show today. We've got Sonia Barrett, and Sonia's the author of The Holographic Canvas, The Cosmic Gain. She's a producer, she's got all kinds of irons in the fire. You know, she's working on The Business of Disease, you know, a beautiful video. She was in Ghetto Physics. I can go on and on for about 3 hours. She talks about the marketing of breast cancer, you know, and things like that, which I've talked about quite a bit as well. But anyway, without any further ado, I want to bring her on the show and find out what she's been up to lately. So, Sonia, are you with us?
Yes. Yes. I almost said to you, define with us.
good one.
Where are we?
Yeah. That's a good question lately, because I know you're probably feeling it too. And just recently, the energy's coming in. I'm definitely feeling like I'm between two worlds, and I can't even relate to the old world anymore and even give it much energy.
Yeah, and I think you just end up having to follow that instead of struggling against it. It's like, you know, it's sort of like just riding that wave, mm-hmm. you know, and then if it feels new and that's what you're drawn to, then that's what I do. I just move according to what feels right, as opposed to trying to go back to the familiar.
Mm-hmm. Recently, we just last Tuesday, I went into court again for 10th court appearance. But you know what? After that, I said, you know, I just told the universe, I'm done with this. You know, this is old. This is not where I want to put my energies. You fix it.
You know what? And that is the best. I swear, that is when things work out. That is my experience time and time again. When I know that I have done everything that I can think of from my little minuscule Sonia, you know, the small Sonia,
yes.
The matrix Sonia has done everything that I can see, then I let go, because I know that the greater part of me has my back. That's how I always put it, because that's true. That part of me has my back. So if everything crumbles, I'm still all good. Nice. And that's when I just let go, and I feel much better. I don't worry about it. If the ceiling caved in, I'm okay. but usually that's when it changes, though, because you get out the way.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I saw, is that, you know, I have to end the conflict within myself. I need to stop seeing things in duality, and we have things put before us because we have to rise to the occasion, and some things we do have to face and deal with, because it is
a life
lesson. But there comes a time when you just have to go, you know, this just isn't where I want to go anymore.
anything at that point is because whatever it was, you got it, and it's like you don't want to fight anymore. That's where I am with all of this. I decided that, you know, a few years ago, because I realized that the system, that's what it operates off of. It feeds off of fighting energy. It's a very warlike planet. This is a war planet.
Yeah.
So everything is really big on conflict and, obviously, you know, tension and opposition. And I realized you cannot come at this, much of this stuff, with that same mentality or behavior, because that's what the system is very good at. And it's very hard to work around it when you're doing the very thing it feeds off of.
Exactly. And I found out, too, you know, we have to admit that, You know, they have the gold, they have the guns,
and it's an
extortion racket. And when you fight that racket, you know, they're going to come at you with everything they have, because, you know, you're actually taking their food away from them. And so what I found out there, you know, well, let's just create a new system.
That's exactly exactly my feelings. That's exactly it. You cannot continue to try to fight to change the system the way it is, but we can gradually, in our own way, begin to restructure a whole different reality, whole different institutions, the way we do things. I think we definitely have to do that, create something new. But trying to get the system to change, those guys have been at it for such a long time, first of all.
Yeah.
They are masters at you know, being a pain in the you-know-what.
Uh-huh.
So you don't want to try to fight them on their game. Just build something new.
Yeah, they're masters at contracting and enslavement and tricking you. I mean, they've been doing it for so long, but, you know, all you can do is educate yourself and take responsibility and really see how you fell into that trap. And then once you see how you walked into it, you don't walk into it again, or you remove yourself from it.
Right, absolutely. And you change your perception and the way you do things, because obviously there was something that brought you into that, you know, I'm talking just in general, each of us into those places, that space to begin with. And, you know, recognizing that, and, you know, we change our perception on it, and you go, oh, okay, so this is what I got from it, which is what you're saying. And then you choose to operate in a completely different space. You know, it has to shift. It totally has to shift, because it needs, in order for it to continue that kind of fight, it needs you. It needs to have that interaction. And if you're not responding in that manner, then it has no other choice but to shift to something else.
Yeah. I also see too, there's a lot of people go in there with a very small tool bag, you know, and they haven't done their homework. They haven't, and they have some erroneous assumptions that, you know, that if I say the right words, or if I have the right paperwork, or if I have this, that they're going to honor that. And really, you know, what I see is that, you know, rather than go in there with all your gear up and everything to go up against these people, it's better, you know, to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to get some other tools and create a whole new, you know, system based on universal law and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what you have to do. You got to come out with a bigger, different way, just a completely different way, and free yourself.
Starve the beast. Starve the beast, you know?
Absolutely. Starve the beast. So that's where I am with all of this. So I don't really get too riled up about much of the illusion that's going on.
Yeah. All the polarities and the saber rattling and the, you should be very, very scared.
Oh, you should be very scared. I mean, and then the continuous, every time you get on the internet, even if you don't listen to the news, they make sure, if you don't watch the news, they're going to make sure they give you a snapshot of something as soon as you sign on.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about a shooting or a kidnapping, or there's always something. And if it's not that, we've got to find out what new shoes Lindsay Lohan has, or, you know.
Yeah, or where they've been caught kidnapping. All right. Shoplifting or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like, it's like, and I care. I'm sitting there going, and I care because.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Why again?
Why are you sending me this?
It's
amazing what's happening right now. I just did a radio show with Victoria Lindquist, and we were talking about that, and both of us felt that something big just happened. It's almost like you can feel it in the wind, like something got pushed over the cliff, you know, or over the hill, and now it's like rolling. It's rolling fast, and it really feels like this old guard, this old network, the old matrix or whatever, just something happened just recently where it just got shattered.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, my feeling is always that things are continuously, I think, reshaping themselves. And I mm-hmm. think it has to do with or one's realization, though, of what's actually going on, I think is based a lot of times on how aware the individual is, because, you know, you might feel that, but then there are people that feel absolutely nothing. There is nothing. I mean, yeah. So there's that level of sleep as well. Uh-huh. So, and also it's that even when we do say that, you know, some of us maybe feel these shifts, people need to still understand that they need to take responsibility for themselves. And that is the challenge that I see with much of this. Because there are a lot of people who think that it's really just about a free ride. Mm-hmm. And we've been here on the planet for such a long time. The experiences that we've had as human beings, so much is embedded in our DNA and, you know, in our genetic structure from ancestral, you know, bloodline, this, that. And many of those things are having to be, those programs are having to be shifted, deleted, transcended mm-hmm. on an individual level in order for each person to really be able to move into greater levels of awareness. Mm-hmm. And so I always like to point that out so that, because there are people that sort of think that it's just an automatic thing. Well, you know, consciousness, everything is shifting, so I'm just going to be right there. You still have to do your thing.
I agree. The way I look at it is that there are cycles.
Absolutely.
We're in a huge cycle right now. And, mm-hmm. and this alignment with, you know, galactic plane, Alcyon, all these other, you know, the influx of cosmic rays, solar flares, everything that's going on is just making a massive shift. And I don't think that can be stopped.
Well, no, not at all. Those things are going to happen.
Yeah, but if we don't get our act together, we aren't going to be around to see the end product, you know?
Right.
Which means cleaning up our wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience and all this old past life stuff and genetic karma, whatever you want to call it, you know,
right.
We've got to do our part to clean up.
Absolutely. And it's an individual walk. Yes, we see this as collective, and to some degree it is. Mm-hmm. But again, people have to keep remembering, you as an individual, you have to do this for yourself as well. So you can't just rely on the group. Now, we can even use this as an example. Now, there's a lot of people who thought that the world was going to come to an end, you know, after, was it 2012?
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting is that, you know, the world did come to an end for some people. It was, you know, we need to stop and understand that the world did come to an end for some people.
Yeah.
And they're not here. Well, this is the same situation. You know, as you just said, you know, if we have to be able to do our own housekeeping so that, you know, you can continue to be part of the planetary evolution. And so if indeed you are not in a space to do that, to be there, then you just won't be here either. So there, I think we can recognize then that it's not necessarily a group thing. Otherwise, all of us would have left with all the people that are no longer here. You know?
You mean I just can't blame and project everything out on everybody else? And,
well, you could, you can, but it's going to backfire. You can do it, but I would, as a friend, I would strongly advise against.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's you know, I've seen that, so it's so amazing. And so I've had very dear friends that just, you know, they went to certain levels of like spiritual ego, or they had the right words to say, or they had this and that, but the baggage was still there. And
intellectualizing a lot of this stuff. Yep.
Yeah. And it's amazing how, and they would get into these self-righteous positions and then they'd do some very, very, very negative actions, which I'm going, no, wait a second. Now you say you're a master teacher, but look at what you're doing here.
The contradiction.
Yeah. Look at the complete contradiction here, but they can't see it because they have so much invested.
Right.
You know, into this, or they're so deeply wounded, they can't, they can't really look at their behavior, you know, because they're in some kind of a victim role or a self-righteous.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. Living out, you know, whatever their construct of their reality is, you know, like the rest of us, they're there, they're living there. And, you know, as I've often said, everybody isn't necessarily supposed to wake up in the way that, you know, you or I might view awakening. And I think that's what the part is that seems to be so challenging for a lot of people, especially in the New Age movement, because, you know, we think that everybody is supposed to awaken like that. And, you know, we have to remember everybody comes on this planet with their own stuff and own unique things that they have to change. And indeed, if moving into a deep level of awareness is going to be possible, then there's certain steps that have to be taken in terms of what we're doing with ourselves. And if they're not doing it, maybe they're just not done with their journey and their story. And to me, I just see it as all okay. As opposed to, you know, forcing everybody or trying to get everybody to shift. Well, maybe everybody isn't supposed to be doing what you are doing or what I'm doing.
Those are, two big lessons I've learned in this lifetime. One is not everybody's going to make it, you know. And two is it's not my job to see that everybody makes it.
Right, you know? Exactly. And the thing is that, you know, when we look at it scientifically, yes, nothing dies. So even then, nothing dies. And if indeed somebody comes into their own awakening, whatever we would define as 10 trillion years from now, it's still okay. Mm-hmm. You know, in a context of time beyond how we view and understand time, it's all okay. And there's so many others that could have what we would define as make it, but we didn't notice because we weren't in that space.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, so I think that we always have to keep remembering that we are not necessarily just it on the planet in terms of feeling very evolved. My sense has always been that there are people, there are beings, human beings like you and I, who I believe live in certain pockets of, you know, planet Earth, that really are in a much grander level of evolution than myself or maybe yourself or whoever. And I think that for me, that is humbling.
Yeah.
And I would be so saddened to think that we are it in terms of
exactly.
The magnitude, you know, the depth of evolution. But, you know, that would be just really sad. But to realize that, wait a second, I don't know everybody on the planet. They are things that we just do not see and we do not know. But indeed, if you have beings that are that evolved living on the planet, well, chances are, yeah, they would not be having that level of conversation with, you know, maybe your average person. Mm-hmm. Just as you and I could not have a conversation with somebody that is a staunch, Christian or deeply embedded in a religion that is absolutely limiting, which generally they are, but we couldn't have this conversation. So you and I may very well go into their space and just talk to them, maybe on a level that they can relate to, but they would not know that you believe what you believe or I believe that I, you know, or that we know these things.
Yeah. Stay out of religion and politics if you want to keep your friends, you know?
Oh, God, if you want to keep your friends and in some cases your head.
Yeah.
Literally.
I always tell people, you know, nobody knows what another soul needs for completion. And they might be these grand masters on one level, but they, They just got to work out a few little things on another level, you know, a little bit of unfinished business. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I can't really judge anybody, and I try mm-hmm. to have compassion for everybody, but not to the point where I get sucked into enabling them.
Or trying to save them. It's just, you know, mm-hmm. And I think we've all had that savior program. I think you and I, we spoke about this before.
Oh, yeah.
We all kind of had that, you know, I had it, Jesus, I mean, a while back. And you do, you have this feeling, you know, that you're supposed to do this, whatever it is. And then one day you realize, oh, well, maybe not.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe not quite that.
What did I take on?
Yeah. Well, you know, for me at least, I end up realizing that the greatest gift that I could really give was to really begin to work on myself. Mm-hmm. And when I say work on myself, I'm just speaking of just a deep level of being introduced to myself, the more evolved part of myself. Clearing out the cobwebs, allowing myself to see more of what I have been, you know, components or aspects of me that maybe were limiting, just things about yourself. And I think we have to be able to go ahead and look at ourselves and not be so afraid, because you don't have to judge it. Whatever you were then is just what you were then. That's it. Now you're moving into something else, a more, you know, more expansive being. So it's not a blame game. We're not blaming ourselves and feeling guilty. It's just, you know, that was the game we played then. Those are the things that we understood at the time.
I'm sitting here looking at your picture right now, and it's kind of funny because I'm looking at you and I want to start laughing.
No, that doesn't sound good. Let me just say right now.
Wait, let me qualify this, because it's this. I feel this real familiarity, like another, like a past life thing, where we're just like laughing at all this and blissed out, and it almost feels like that feline energy. I don't know if you've experienced those beings or had contact with them, but a lot of us have past life memories of actually, you know, being like these avatar type beings and things
right.
of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. And I think that is the thing that is so interesting and beautiful is when we make that connection with others. And there is that familiar feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually truly just laugh about the experience here. I think that is so rich and so healing, because it reminds us not to take it all so seriously.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You and I remind each other, and the other people that we can connect with in that manner, we remind each other, and then it's like, oh yeah, lighten up. You're going into the game, and you're really thinking it's real.
Yeah. Well, it's more of an endearing kind of a bliss hit from within, and that comes with the recognition. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
the best way I can explain it. But
yeah,
I'm going, oh yeah, she's one of us. You know, it's like, it's
yeah,
that
she's
kind of
crazy
thing.
Like us. Yeah,
yeah,
crazy
exactly.
like a fox.
Yeah, I tell you, boy, if you take this world seriously, it will kill you.
It will. It totally will. You will be so stressed out. That's why everybody's in fight or flight mode all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it keeps people on guard all the time. Like now with the gun thing, they keep telling you about people getting shot, and
yeah.
so. You know, they put those two together, and then you have people panicking about the gun laws or, you know, the commercials that you'll see with somebody breaking into someone's house. And then there's ADD right there. Get your alarm.
Yeah.
First they get you all stressed out. I had a phone call, as a matter of fact, because now they do it automated. And it's so funny. I pick up my phone. And it's one of these security services telling me that in my neighborhood, there's been a couple of break-ins. I'm like, what are they talking about? You know, so they want to give me a special. Of course, I just hung up because it was a machine. I was like, what? This is the kind of stuff that the system does. And then you get people running around. It's like, oh, you know what? Maybe we should get an alarm system. You know. It's like people are running around in constant panic and and fear and vulnerability. They feel so vulnerable and helpless, and that's where the system comes in and says, oh, we'll all protect you.
Yeah, we'll fix that.
We'll fix that.
Just pay us a bunch of money, and we'll take care of that.
We'll take care of that. We'll make some money. You'll feel safe, even though not really, because if somebody wants to break into your house, they really will, regardless of the elaborate system you've got.
I believe in practicing unconditional lead, you know, myself. But
unconditional lead. I've never heard that one before. That's funny.
out here on a ranch, see, we live out in the middle of nowhere. And I've had a couple instances where I did have to pull out a rifle, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it was with predators that came to the ranch. And actually three instances, I had a mountain lion kill one of my horses. And then I had a lot. I lost 11 chickens on one route and 14 on the other. And I had to finally track down this bobcat and take care of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, take care of wow.
I didn't. I was raised in a hunting family all my life, but mm-hmm. I'm a peaceful person. I don't want to go shoot anybody or deal with anything of that nature.
Right.
But, you know, every once in a while you have circumstances that happen that you might need to take care of business or protect yourself. And
right. I
look at it historically. I go, well, have you ever done the research of what happens when everybody's guns are gone or taken away throughout history?
That's why they're trying to get everybody's guns taken away.
Yeah, you want to see mass murder and genocide. take the guns away and watch the next two steps after that.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's where they come in, though, and they're gonna protect you. It's so much easier to control everyone if everybody's unarmed anyway. And that's the biggest thing. It's like everybody's unarmed, then, you know, we can come in and we have total control, because you don't have to worry. It's easier to keep everybody from doing whatever it is you think they're going to do. Come at you, form their own little military and so on and so forth. Yeah. So I think there's a big fear of the large amount of the population ever banding together or waking up ever.
Yeah, that scares the hell out of them. And, you know, waking up and then being armed at the same time.
At the same time? Oh, my God, are you kidding me?
If you've been ripping people off and enslaving them and stealing all the rights and doing things for so long, you know, eventually, you know, people are going to wake up to that fact. And then the people become the enemy. And it's so clear it's common sense they'd be afraid and want to get rid of the guns and everything, because
that's right.
If people ever figure out who they are and what they did to them.
Absolutely. You know. And divide and conquer. I mean, and I look at that all the time, how that's continuously done. And conquer. And generally it's done a lot with the, with race. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the greatest ammunitions that, you know, that they've had, because can you imagine if everybody tossed aside worrying about the color of their skin and who was better and realized, wait a second, we've all been enslaved. We've all been taken advantage of. And there's an uprising, as I always say, on the plantation. You know, it's like we don't want an uprising on the plantation.
And right now we're all slaves, you know, if you really
that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like it's one giant plantation and everybody, it's all slaves on it, from the corporate, from the level of the, you know, from the boardroom down to the janitor's closet. There are different levels of slavery.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and conscription, you know, they're always trying to contract you and force you into these situations. But until what I see on a big level, people are waking up. They're seeing the game. They're stepping up to the plate and they're saying, "Hey, I'm not doing this anymore." In a lot of different ways, you know, they're trying to take care of this
I think there are different, I guess, different levels of, you know, that awakening. People are going to wake up on different levels. And I think that it would be, how do I phrase that? For people to awaken right now, especially to the health situation, because that is something that is so powerful, and it's so pushed, because they also play on the fact that human beings, as human beings, we want to live. We people are very fearful about their health generally. You know, at the core of it all is our survival instinct to live. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that is definitely pounced on by marketing, by the pharmaceutical companies. And so people get very desperate, and people get scared and nervous when they put things out there that they need to get flu shots or vaccines or what the next thing is coming. You keep people terrified. Mm-hmm. And you could, then you medicate, you know, you give them all these pharmaceuticals, and people have to begin to take responsibility for themselves and ask questions. And that part is still a challenge.
You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the medical thing, and I know you've delved into that a lot. And what I've been seeing lately, and it's kind of a heavy subject, but I've been seeing pictures coming out of Africa where they've been doing these mass inoculations, and these kids have open sores with weeping sores all over them. And they just come grab them, pile them all up into a truck or whatever, take them off somewhere, and nobody ever sees them again.
It's you know, in an article I wrote, that was a statement that I made, that human beings are capable of such extreme levels of wickedness and goodness. We can be to the absolute extreme. You know, in both directions. And you cannot in your mind imagine how another human being could do those things. But see, I think it's the reasoning. It's what they tell themselves. So while you and I may think of it as, oh, these are such, you know, children, they're children, how could you do that? They see them as an opportunity to further their cause. You know, that's how they see it, for the greater good. As twisted as it is, they further their cause with these people. And they do it here in the United States, too. Oh, yeah. People that are impoverished, people that are more dependent on the system. You know, even in the case of single mothers, it's the more vulnerable that are generally the ones that that they sort of come at a little bit more easily.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I've seen that too. It's amazing just all of these programs. Now I know for a fact that we've had the cure, I think since the 1920s we've had the cure for cancer. And I think it's Otto Warburg was a triple PhD Nobel Prize winner I don't know how many PhDs he's got, but anyway, he you know, that was back in the 20s. He gave us the cure for cancer. And basically all he said was that you have to raise your body pH and raise your oxygen levels. And it backs it right out of the system. But it seems like, you know, and also it'd be a good idea to get all the chemicals and heavy metals and everything else out of your system. But, you know, I look at today's society and the way the health program works, and the food and the water and everything is just so full of fluoride, aspartame, corn syrup, you know, all the things that just knock your system down, and you know, just where things have gone, you know, with all the chemicals, the herbicides, pesticides. You look at that and you go, this is almost like an organized assault on the health and well-being of and longevity of humanity.
Oh, absolutely. Well, again, it's always about, you have to weaken people. You have to go to the vulnerable areas. And again, that's health and people's emotional well-being. You know, you combine all of this, and what you've got is you've got fear, you've got survival. And you know, and you toss in the things that you just mentioned. So you have people running around not really knowing what to do at the same time. And then they become vulnerable to the medical, the Western medicine, particularly based on all these components, these chemical components that you mentioned. They might not be aware that this is what's affecting them. So what do? Then they go to the doctor. So, you know, so, and then whatever he gives them at that point. So it becomes
another
this circle. Exactly. So yeah. It becomes this circle. And unfortunately, the majority of people are still very unaware. If the doctor says to do this thing and that thing, that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, a good example is that I think the numbers right now are 22 veterans a day are committing suicide. And they totally ignore the fact that they've been exposed to all the things over there. They have the Gulf War syndrome and all these other chemicals and the
iridation or
I don't know, I lost it. The iridium flares? Not iridium. Uranium. Sorry.
Uranium. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. All of these things, you know, that they're exposed to over there. And then they go, hey, I'm sick, man. My system's down. I can't even think, you know. My immune system's totally compromised and everything. And they go, it's your imagination here. Let me put you on this drug.
Let you imagine more.
Yeah, and then their condition gets worse. And they go, hey, that's not working. Well, let me put you on another drug because this is all in your head. And they put them on two or three drugs. And now they're like walking time bombs. And a lot of them go, you know what? I can't live like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm either going to kill somebody else or I'm going to kill myself. And that's the common theme that comes up. And
right.
Then you look on the bottle and it says, if you're under a lot of anxiety or anger or whatever, don't take this drug because it could push you to suicide or violence, you know?
Well, you hear it in the commercials though. Yeah. They say all of that may, you know, you may have thoughts of suicide or suicidal thoughts may whatever the liver may this may, you know, you could die. Ask your doctor about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why am I going to ask my doctor about it? You're already telling me it's a poison.
Yeah. And, you know? And the other thing too, on top of that, this is what blows me away is that I go, okay, all of these kids that did these mass shootings, and they're all on psychotropics, some kind of...
Oh, all of them.
Yeah, all of them. And and it says on the bottle, this may lead to violence, you know, or suicidal behavior. And you're going, okay, drugs, killings, you know, all this...
Yeah.
Put them on drugs, not working. Okay, this has gone on and on. Here's the outcome, you know, of this, you know, suicide or mass killings or things like that. And then that's the real insanity is thinking that doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And so I look at that and I go, okay, well, why don't we do counseling? You know, why don't we get more, you know, beef up our counseling system and get away from all the drugs and everything else? Why don't we?
Because then they wouldn't sell enough money. I mean, they wouldn't make enough money.
Exactly.
You're cutting into profit and control, and there's so many other components wired in there, and it's not just about the money. It's control and the value that is placed on human life. Mm-hmm. It's not the same value that maybe you and I have for human life.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing that we need to look at. It's not the same anymore.
The focus is cashing in on a problem versus healing. You know, the healing aspect is gone, and just cashing in on a problem, keep people on this drug, that drug, add more drugs, that's going to solve the problem.
Yep, that's why we got to do your own research. People have to do your own research. I need to mention, as a matter of fact, with everything that we're talking about, I am producing a film, a documentary called The Business of Disease. So people know it's thebusinessofdisease.com, and it is dealing with many of the things that we've talked about. The only difference with this film is that we're bringing cutting-edge information, meaning cutting-edge content in terms of options for people that go beyond the traditional or even some of the traditionally known alternative methods.
Yeah.
But even taking it from a perspective of quantum physics, and also wanting people to take in the emotional component, because the emotional aspect plays a huge role in our health, in our body. And that's the part that Western medicine tends to ignore, is that huge piece. People, you know, people carry their issues, as David, what's his name, Brian David Anderson was saying, the statement, what's the issues in your tissues?
Yeah, that's
well, yeah, and so we have to remember that when we don't deal with stuff, we don't deal with those things that are in us. They do. They will manifest somewhere because they have to come. They have to come out. Mm-hmm. You know. So we need to remember that the body—it's a lot of energy blockages. Yeah, and as you mentioned, the lack of oxygen is a major component. But this, but an acid body can also come very heavily from our emotional state. That can really short circuit the body as well.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sitting here right now, and I have this bottle of it's Langenberg Research is who makes this, and amazing stuff. And it's crystallized oxygen suspended in a microhydrant, and the water has it's a different molecule, but when you drink this water, your oxygen levels go up. If you put an oximeter on your finger, it just pegs. You know, you're at the top.
Really?
And the highest systemic antibiotic you can get is oxygen. And,
right.
And cancer's anaerobic. It hates oxygen. It backs it out of the system. You know, these technologies have been around, and other ones as well, for God knows how long. And this is kind of a new animal because this is like rocket science, the guy, the German physicist that created this. But, you know, this process, this water actually purifies other water when you put it into it. And I've watched this, you know, under a very powerful microscope. You know, it's not your usual one, but I was looking at all these little bacteria and virus and everything, and it was like a Rife technology scope.
And
I'm looking at all these little creatures running around there, and I see a drop of water drop in there, and all of a sudden everything just turns into a crystal. And all the bonds are broken, you know, of the chemicals, the biologicals, everything, and they go back into a crystalline form. And I go, holy crap. You know, when I saw that, and I go, well, is that crystal? Is that, he goes, that's food.
That's food
for your body. There's no toxic die off. There's no, and, you know, and I see, and I've held fuelless energy technologies in my hand that put out enormous amount of power. I see all of these things are available right now, but you know, as we know, the powers that be have been suppressing this for so long, but we have everything now to clean up our planet, to get back to health, to awaken.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's
oh,
here.
Yeah. But you're not going to have the media telling you about all those, you know, I don't think you're going to hear it on Fox News.
No. Yeah. And that's the thing that, and, you know, and you're kind of asking me, well, what is the system's problem with you? Why do they want to come and bulldoze your buildings and get you out of there? I think we just nailed it. No, I'm the last thing they want to see come forward but you know what's sad is they don't realize I'm working for them and the next generations as well, because this helps everybody, and they're going nowhere in the continued efforts to suppress these things, because they're only building up more karma. They're lowering their frequencies, their energies. They're not going to be able to incarnate back on the earth, because she's going to move beyond their frequencies, and it's a no-win situation for them. So we're actually helping them out too at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
But they don't really see it that way.
No, I'm afraid not. Yeah. I'm afraid if you went and told them, they would go, okay, so he's crazy as well. Okay.
Yeah.
We knew he was crazy, but not to this. Yeah, it's interesting, but I think, you know, like we said, the approach you're taking now, I think, is really, it's probably the most powerful approach.
Oh, I agree.
It confuses everything when there's no major war going on.
Exactly, and you know, we're totally coming at it from a peace, and we're not engaging in the negatives, but we are, you know, we are taking business and educating ourselves and creating a different reality. You know, we've been working very closely with the Divine Providence people and some other things about actually creating a whole new system, a whole new world. I know there's a lot of others going in that direction. I think there's a One People's Trust movement and several others out there. I haven't looked into that one very deeply yet, but I kind of know where they're going. But it does look like this whole enslavement through dependency game is starting to unravel very quickly, and people are regaining their power and stepping out of the boxes, you know, that have been created for them. And I think it's mainly due to a lot of, you know, people like you out there that are waking people up to the matrix and what's going on.
Yeah, I just, you know, and again, you know, for me, what I do is I just share where I am in every given moment as I come into an awareness for myself. You just kind of give it back out, and, you know, whoever it resonates with, then they can really, maybe they can sort of ride on that, or it becomes a trigger also and unlock something in them, because we're constantly being unlocked if we allow it. You know, you've seen that where you might be listening to somebody speak, and they might say just one word. They don't realize it, but just the one word that triggers something in you, and you go, oh, yeah. Yet they're talking about something might be completely different, or not even to that depth. So, yeah, so I think that, you know, we can see the triggering effect of certain things that you may talk about or that I may talk about, and people will be triggered on various levels according to where they are and according to what they will allow themselves to kind of walk into. Not everybody wants the extreme deep level of consciousness, as we just said, of awareness. Some people are actually extremely afraid of it because there's so much unknown. People really fear the unknown, so it's easier to continue to maybe stick with something that you've studied. And I hear that, you know, from people that tell me that they've studied this for like 20 or 30 years, or they've been going to the same church for 30 years. And it's all of that is just more comfortable. No, it's safer.
Yeah, don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, and don't mess with your benefits. Don't rock the boat.
Absolutely.
Even though they may be enslaving, you know, and then keeping you from creating a greater reality. And a lot of people just say, oh, I don't want to rock the boat. I've got my paycheck, you know, I've got my SUV, my big screen TV, you know, and I've got my pizza and beer and Super Bowl, and I'm just going to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's just safer. And I'm just going to stay here, and I'm just going to go through the normal matrix route, whatever the matrix wants to do with me. You know, I'll just go ahead and I'll do that. But questioning, you start asking questions, you better be ready. When you start digging deep for questions, a person really has to be ready for not only the answers that will come, but for life-changing situations, because you start digging things up and your reality will very well change in many different ways. And sometimes you have no idea how that reality is going to be affected. And people are very terrified of change. Again, the unknown. Mm-hmm. So I completely see why certain people don't want to go there. They don't want to go where you're going or what I'm talking about or the questioning we've done. And you know exactly how challenging that can be when your life is shaken up, when you get shaken up, you know, spiritually. It's like, you could move, you could this, you could move, leave your job, you know, relationships break up. It can really impact our lives in many ways, and sometimes people are just not wanting to take that journey.
Yeah, or I know when they do take the journey, they usually go, wow, this is too rough, or they want to blame everybody else
outside of
themselves versus stepping back and going, okay, I created this, you know, I took this journey, I created this, my life's going to change, I have to change my values. I have to start looking at things differently, what worked, what didn't work, and really go into an observation mode and with brutal honesty, you know, concerning where they're at, you know, to get through these challenges.
Yep. And you got to know it's going to be okay. Because life as we live it in every moment is really built on or sits on a foundation of what we understand up until that point. So that's why when we understand something new and expansive, the foundation does shift from under us, because that becomes truly illusion now, you know, what you were living on. And now you've got new truths, new understanding, a huge evolution. So, yeah, it is going to impact certain things in your life. The relationship might not work anymore because the relationship supported who we were at that moment or where we lived. I'm talking whether it be, you know, the town, the state, the house, the area, whatever the case may be. Everything we do is supporting the understanding that we have in this moment.
Exactly. And, you know, it's nice when two people can evolve together, you know, mm-hmm. grow and heal and go together. And sometimes that process might take them in different directions, and sometimes it might take them closer, you know, and back to love and back to, but you just don't know, you know, it's like, I always tell people, I have a minister's license, and people are trying mm-hmm. to get me to marry them all the time.
Right.
And I said, you know, I don't think that works anymore. I'm sorry, because souls have agreements, and they have mm-hmm. they have things to do together. They come in, and some of those agreements are for a month or a week or even a day. You know,
right.
some are for years. You know, some might be forever. But I just don't see how a contract fits into that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and people, again, like you said, people have to do what fits for them at that moment. And that's what, you know, whatever is understood, that is what is understood. But yes, I think all relationships work, you know, and I always say that when we say, oh, it didn't work, we're divorced. But I think everything works. They all work. I just think it's what they provide us with at that moment, that particular period in our lives. And we have an opportunity to maybe evolve, you know, great, some evolution from the experience, or some people will repeat it and marry the same situation over and over again.
Yeah. And, you know, I do believe in spiritual unions, you know, but mm-hmm. they aren't based on fear. They aren't together because, and they don't sign a contract for fear of losing
right.
some material aspect or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely don't need a contract with the state. They don't need the state mm-hmm. in their relationship. And as long as people are moving in the right direction and coming from the heart and taking responsibility, especially if you bring a couple kids in or whatever, you know, that's all, you know, good. That's all, and you know, but, you know, we have to always realize, too, there are some people who aren't going in that direction.
Yeah, and I completely understand, because that's a decision that I had to look at and make as well, because it is an interesting one, because the program does say to you, this is what the social programming is. The social programming is that when you are married, you know, for a minister and the state, not even just that part, but the state, but you go and you get your marriage license, that somehow qualifies your relationship. I think there is really a program that says that now it's real. The relationship is real because the state has qualified it. And I think that is a huge program that's running. Even though you can do common law, and what do they say, after 7 years living together, you know, you're still right. You're recognized as married. Mm-hmm. But I think that program, yes, having children out of wedlock, we have to look at why we want to do what we do for different reasons. With us, with my situation, we want to, he and I want to celebrate our union, you know, with other people. So when we have other people here, that is really to celebrate, or getting married, it's to celebrate the union, not the contract with the state that qualifies
yeah.
That says it's okay. You guys are really in love because now you have this.
I just don't know how a piece of paper has any bearing whatsoever in some kind of a soul connection or whatever it is. You know,
It didn't used to. They used to just put whatever it is in the family Bible. They used to write, in the family Bible of the whole, ancestral line there. But then that changed, and then you have to pay for it. Now you have to pay to be recognized as married. And anyway, that's like a whole other show on that subject with
Native American way. You know, a lot of ways they do is they just go and clasp hands and they put a blanket over both hands and they do a ceremony around it and a blessing and say, okay, go, enjoy your life. And then when they decide it's not working out, they go back and they clasp hands again. They put a blanket over them and just say, okay, you're free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To me that makes sense. And it's just really about the two of you. It's just really about, the agreement between the two of you, at the heart level.
Exactly.
And not, all this other insanity.
Exactly. We're coming up to the end of the hour, but before we let you go, I want you to give any contact information and how people can support your work. And also, too, I'll send you some contact information because I think in your movie, the people that are coming up with these healing technologies would be awesome, for you to interview them if you have space in your...
Yeah, now we're in post-production. Okay. We're done interviewing now. The film is just still in a stage of being... put together. It's taken a while, but from what I'm understanding, not necessarily. This is just new to me. I've never done this before. We have awesome people that we're working with. But I am still wanting to ask people out there to support the film. You can go on the site, thebusinessofdisease.com. You can make a donation. It's right on the homepage. I've done a lot of the funding myself, and there have been wonderful people that have come along and also sent donations and supported the film. There are T-shirts that are wonderful T-shirts, high quality cotton T-shirts that with for the film, the business of disease, the cure is in the body, not in the business. That's the slogan on the T-shirt, and support the film even that way by buying the T-shirts. And my main way. Oh, we also send out a newsletter every month. That is awesome. If you go on the site, it's free. Click on newsletter, and you will see it. So it's thebusinessofdisease.com. The main website is spiritinform.com. spiritinform.com, and there's lots of stuff on there, lots of articles, the store, lots of the workshops I've done, everything is recorded, and there are videos as well. So yes, do visit that, spiritinform.com. There's a new site I keep saying coming. I can't wait for it to go live, where the site will be there'll be an affiliate program for the entire website. And just lots of new things coming with the website. So definitely stay tuned.
Sounds good. Hey, I can't thank you enough. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. It brings a smile to my face. And I know we're on the same wavelength here. So keep up your great work and all the support to you to get this film out.
Thank you so, so much.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. This is James Gillen, your host, signing off. Have a great day. And watch the skies. A lot going on out there.